Faith and Family. I'm Sarah Golseth. We have another missionary with us today. We always love talking to our missionaries and learning about the work that they're doing for the church in the countries around the world and learning about the cultures and all of those wonderful things. Today in studio, I have Dennis Danau, who is a missionary in Thailand. Welcome, Dennis.
Thank you.
So, Thailand, tell me a little bit about what it's like to live in Thailand.
Oh, Thailand's a wonderful place, actually. People there are very, very friendly. Mm-hmm. It's called the Land of Smiles because the people are smiling a lot. Mm-hmm. They love to meet new people and have visitors come. So it's an easy place in terms of relationship with people. Not that we can easily develop close relationships, but they're very friendly and warm and welcoming. I like the weather. But some people think it's boring, but I like summer every day.
Is it summer every day?
Yeah, and especially in Bangkok where I live and southern Thailand, 80 degrees to the upper 90s virtually every day. If it drops into the 70s, Thai people are feeling cold, putting on the jackets. Northern Thailand can be a little bit colder. It goes up into the hills there. But the weather, I think, is beautiful. It's an interesting place because the culture is fascinating, especially for us Westerners. Mm-hmm. It's so different from what we have and what we know and experience on a daily basis, like here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Being a Buddhist country, there are just lots of temples and Buddha images and things around that catch people's attention when they come and visit. Mm-hmm. Thailand, as a matter of fact, is one of the number one tourist destinations in the world. Oh. And so it proof again that it's a place that people really like to come, feel comfortable there, find it to be a fascinating place.
That's wonderful. So your title is the education consultant in the Asia region. Is that correct?
Actually, that was just changed not too long ago.
All right.
Yeah.
I have to tell them to change that.
Yeah.
So what exactly is your title then?
My title now is really strategic mission developer for Thailand. Basically,
wow.
I'm a Thailand missionary.
Okay. So what does that all entail for you then?
Well, it entails, in a sense, let's say, figuring out what is the ministry that we can do best there, mm-hmm. And how to go about doing that. Right now, we're just small. I'm the only career missionary from the LCMS in Thailand.
Wow.
We have one long-term volunteer we call GEO, Globally Engaged in Outreach. Mm-hmm. She signs on for a year at a time. She's been there. Her name is Robin McCoy, and she's been there for 11 years now.
Wow.
And so we look at the situation and see how can we best serve the Thai people. Mm-hmm. How can we best become a part of the local community? How can we develop relationships with them? Because it's through those kinds of personal relationships where we have the best opportunities to share the gospel.
Sure. So then day to day, what does the mission work look like day to day?
In Bangkok, most of our work focuses around English teaching. Mm-hmm. As in many countries around the world, people want to learn English or improve their English.
Sure.
And so it's an advantage and opportunity for us because they want to learn from a native speaker. Mm-hmm. So when we come in as native English speakers, there's an automatic opportunity to develop classes. And it's through those English classes where we get the opportunity to build those relationships because we're spending intensive time with the students. And you have to talk during English classes. And we have to find topics to talk about. And so there's a wide range of things we can bring into the classroom, including our Christian faith.
Yeah.
We can talk about that, Christian life. They're interested in knowing about that, knowing about the Bible. And so that's one way in which we foreigners can have an effective outreach into the community. And it's like for a volunteer who comes for a year, we don't have to worry about them doing a lot of language study before they can do ministry. They can start doing a ministry immediately by teaching English.
Sure.
So that's a big part of what we do. We're looking at other opportunities. There, we do have a daycare center also in Bangkok that's been there for many years, about 26 or 27 years, helping people in a slum area to have care for their small children, but also they help prepare the children for when they go to school. They teach them the Bible lessons. They look after them, make sure that they have good nutrition, good health. And all of that not only demonstrates the love of Christ for the people, but it, again, provides opportunity for us to meet the local people, to meet the parents, get connected with the community.
Sure.
We have a Thai staff who does that, and they've been doing that very well for a long time.
Sure.
So those are the priorities. I also do some Bible teaching at our church. We have a small congregation there on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And have some involvement with some of the church activities there as well.
Sure. So you were saying before we went on that you've been there for a while. So
yeah.
How has the missionary work changed from the first time you were there? What was it, back in the 80s?
Yes.
To what you're doing now? Is it very different from what you were doing back then?
The answer to that is yes and no.
So how is it the same?
How is it the same? We're still foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
We're still teaching English.
Sure.
It started with teaching English. We will probably always continue to do that because it is such an effective means of building relationships and sharing the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So it was started by our missionaries teaching English classes and then branching out from there into other areas.
Sure.
So that's the main way that it's the same. It's different in that when we started, we started with a team of about six people.
Oh, wow.
And now we have two of us, one volunteer and one career.
Oh, my.
So with a team of six, there's much more, of course, we could do. We had more diversity on our team. But even within the English program, when we started the English program, it started very small,
mm-hmm.
but it grew very quickly. We went from 24 students the first term to 80 students the second term to 125 students the third term to over 250 students within just several terms.
Wow.
And we could do that because we had a team of people there.
Mm-hmm.
We could each just teach more English classes.
Sure.
And the interest was there from the local community. And so that was our primary way of beginning. And through that, then we could start some Bible classes and do some other outreach activities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a difference. Another big difference is that through those missionaries who have been there from the 80s until now, there is a local church body that has grown up,
mm-hmm.
called the Thailand Concordia Lutheran Church,
mm-hmm.
and that is a Thai church, Lutheran church body, Thai pastors, and their leadership is Thai, and they have congregations in the south, in the north, and in central Thailand, and so we have now, it's not a formal partner church of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod,
mm-hmm.
but we have that relationship with them, and in fact, we identify the purpose for our ministry and for purpose for us to be in Thailand is to serve that church body.
Sure.
And they have said they want us to teach the English classes and they want some mentoring and training for their pastors as well. So they're identifying ways that they feel we can be the most helpful to them. When we began just with a group of missionaries and there was no local church that we were connected to.
So it's grown quite a bit since you started.
In some ways it has. That church body is still very small,
mm-hmm.
But it's grown in terms of making that progress that we're involving the Thai people. It's not just a mission from foreign missionaries anymore.
Sure.
And so we're really happy and excited about that and some really good people in that church body and the pastors are very dedicated and really working very hard to reach out to people in their community as well. We'd like to see the numbers grow,
mm-hmm.
But we're patient with that because missionaries have been working in Thailand for 250 years.
Oh, wow.
And Thailand today is considered to be 1.6% Christian.
Wow.
So progress in terms of Thai people actually becoming Christian, identifying themselves as Christian, is a slow process.
Sure, sure. So then what is worship like on a Sunday morning or whenever that worship takes place?
Yeah, Sunday morning is the most common. Because we're Lutheran missionaries and because this Lutheran church has grown out of our work, it is a liturgical church.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as formal and complete liturgy as many churches might have, but they do follow a lot of the same styles of worship mm-hmm. and ways of designing their worship. They do follow a type of liturgy that's very similar to ours, but maybe not quite as complete.
Sure.
They're looking at... They have this dream that they really would like to make the worship and the liturgy much more Thai.
Mm-hmm.
They do it in Thai. They do use the Thai language.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that is hymns or praise songs that are translated
sure.
into Thai language. The liturgy has been translated into Thai language. They would like to bring a lot more Thai music into it
mm-hmm.
and ways to bring in Thai culture
sure.
that would fit with the Christian worship.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been looking at that. We've done some workshops and some discussions and meetings and things about how that might work or what that might look like. But otherwise, you'd be able to follow along very, very easily. There's the confession of sins and forgiveness. There's the creed
mm-hmm.
that they speak together, the Lord's Prayer, the sermon. Of course, the offering.
Of course.
all of those aspects are there because those are parts of worship that we feel are important regardless of the culture.
Sure.
How exactly that's done or what the language is can be flexible in that, and that's will be interesting to see how that grows and develops now as the years go by.
Yeah. What kind of instrumentation is it for the things that are sung?
Electronic keyboard,
okay.
guitars.
Is that something that you're hoping you can bring in some more of the culture into the worship with just how the music is sung?
Yeah. I think as we talk about it within our church and with the Thailand Concordia Lutheran Church leaders as well, they're happy to have that liturgy mm-hmm. that guides them through the worship. But then how to bring in more Thai instruments.
Sure.
There are a few hymns that have been written by Thai Christians over the years. That we bring in when possible, when it fits for the worship.
Mm-hmm.
We're a small group. We worship about 30 people on a mm-hmm. Sunday morning. So we don't have the variety of talents necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a number of guitar players
mm-hmm.
and a couple of keyboard players. It would be nice if we had somebody could bring in more of the Thai instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we don't have a lot of people who know how to play those instruments.
Sure.
So that's big part of the reason that they're not being incorporated yet.
Sure.
But we look forward to that.
That's great. So then Thailand, where you mm-hmm. are, you said mostly Buddhist.
Yeah, about 93% Buddhist.
So then how do you reach out into those Buddhist communities and talk to those people about Jesus?
The nice thing about working in a Buddhist community is Buddhists are very, very open.
Mm-hmm.
Buddhism doesn't have a god.
Mm-hmm.
Buddhism really is more focused on a philosophy of how to live and be a good person because they follow the law of karma.
Mm-hmm.
If you do good, you'll be rewarded. If you do bad, you'll be punished. And so they're always looking for ways that they can be better.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for any teachings or groups or people or maybe even gods, whatever, that can help them to be better persons so they get more rewards and so that when they die and then they're reincarnated into their new life, it'll be a better life than this life.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very open to other religions. They're very, very open to Christianity. They
sure.
know there are a lot of good teachings that can help them to be better people. So they're really looking for ways that they can more closely, more effectively follow the Buddhist teachings.
Mm-hmm.
But that gives us the opportunity to talk to them about our Christian faith,
sure.
our Christian teaching, who Jesus is and what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And so there aren't a lot of obstacles to the conversations.
Sure.
We can talk about those things. We can talk about those in our English classes. Personal conversations. It doesn't mean that they're interested in becoming Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an open door. We can begin those conversations. And we're excited about that because once we start talking about these things we can share scripture with them and tell them about Jesus, I mean, the Holy Spirit works in their hearts and then can take them way beyond what they're expecting
sure.
that they want to know.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, it's very flexible. And in terms of laws and the government, it's also very open.
That's good.
They're happy to have missionaries there. They know missionaries bring good teachings and good lifestyles and good moral values. And so there are not a lot of restrictions. Just we have to be sensitive to individuals.
Mm-hmm.
They're interested or not in some cultural things about how we might do those outreach activities. But it gives us a lot of flexibility.
That's good. Is there any complication with a Buddhist maybe accepting Christianity as one of their paths of belief instead of actually leaving Buddhism to become a Christian?
It's a real complication for us as Christians, but it's not a complication at all for Buddhists.
Right.
In fact, that's one of the big obstacles that does come up.
Mm-hmm.
We have Thai people over a period of time, they've been learning and more and more about Jesus and about the Bible, and they'll say, well, yeah, I think I could have Jesus too.
Yeah.
And then we say, sorry, it can't be Jesus two, it has to be Jesus one. And then why is Christianity so exclusive? All these other religions, they don't care if I'm Buddhist and Christian or if I'm Hindu and Buddhist and Christian. Why does Christianity have to be so exclusive? And so that becomes an obstacle, but it's also a wonderful question.
Right.
Because then we can go right to the heart of the gospel message.
Sure.
This is what makes Christianity unique. We have a God who is alive. We have a God who is love.
Mm-hmm.
We have a God who has reached out and who has made a way for us, provided forgiveness, who opens the gates into his presence for us. And so it gives us that opportunity to really go to the heart of our beliefs. The problem, of course, is it's so extremely different from what they now believe.
Sure.
That it's a bit of a long road for them to really comprehend and to start thinking that might be something that they would be interested in.
Sure.
Because then they run into the cultural obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
If they are reaching the point where they discover that they're believing, you know, that they... Sometimes they'll say, I think I'm about 80% Christian now. and you know, you can see that God is working in their hearts and in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
But then they reach the big obstacle where Thai people see Buddhism is the religion of the Thai people.
Mm.
Christianity is religion of the Western people.
Sure.
So when we say something about being Christian or that Christ is for all people, it doesn't make sense to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, but I'm Thai, and so I'm Buddhist.
Right.
And if I become, how could I become Christian? Because I'm not going to become a Westerner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really a sticking point for them.
Sure.
And that's the point at which then I, as a foreign missionary, really need and work to connect them with local Thai Christians.
Sure.
Because a Thai Christian can say, yes, you can be Thai and Christian. I was Buddhist. I have become a Thai Christian. Here's how that works.
Sure. That's an interesting cultural perspective of a religion that is so closely intertwined with the culture that when you're as a missionary, when you're talking to these native people, it's not just having them understand a new religion. It's understanding how that religion can actually fit into their culture.
That's right.
Something that you may not get in other places around the world.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And it's critical because the culture is very important. That's their identity.
Sure.
And we're talking about them changing their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an easy thing to do.
Right. Now, having that church body there now, does that make it a little bit easier of a transition for those people?
It can, because that can be, especially if they're like our English class students, we can just... If you have conversations about religion and about Christian religion, you talk about church, going to church on Sundays, we can say, you know, if you'd like to see it, you're welcome to come Sunday morning and come. I'll bring you to our church. And as their teacher, then they'll come with us and they can sit and just sit in church and just watch. You can just see what this is like, our worship is. And we know they're going to make the connections between how we worship in church and how they worship in a temple.
Right.
Which is extremely different.
Mm-hmm.
But it does give us that connection that we can give them an experience with it. And they can discover it's a welcoming place. These are friendly people.
Sure.
We're not doing something that's strange or unusual in the sense of it being something that's frightening or anything like that. And so it gives them a chance to kind of ease into that experience and to learn by being there.
Right, right. So we're running a little bit short on time, but I wanted to talk about your family a little bit. Can you tell me a little bit about your family?
My family is small. Most of my life, I've been single. Mm-hmm. I got married just 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. My wife is Thai. Mm-hmm. And she is also a full-time ministry.
Okay.
She is the country director for Luthanaur Ministries in Thailand.
So she does a lot of radio work then?
She doesn't do the on-air programming. Mm-hmm. As the director, she's the organizer of that. But what they have radio speakers who come in and record their programs.
Sure.
And then they send those recorded programs out to churches all across the country, mm-hmm. Lutheran, non-Lutheran, anyone, because we have community radio stations in Thailand mm-hmm. that small groups, including many churches, can have their own little radio station. The government allows that with just a little bit of supervision,
That's
make
wonderful.
Sure it's good quality. And so they send out the programs that they can use on the air for their local communities around their churches.
That's really cool.
And so they're very focused on that aspect of outreach and then connecting people to local churches.
Sure.
And so it's great for me to have a wife who's very involved in ministry and, mm-hmm. and has a real heart for serving the Lord as well.
Yeah.
Even though her ministry and mine are somewhat different, mm-hmm. And I as a foreigner have a different role to play in that process. But it's just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
We got married later in life,
sure.
let's say. And living in Bangkok, although having said that, her family is large. She is one of eight siblings.
Oh, wow.
So she has three sisters and grew up with four brothers. One of her brothers just recently passed away. But her side of the family, almost all of them are still in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a large family on the Thai side of our family. Just not on my side. It's very small.
Sure. So then being assimilated into Thai culture then for you, has that been different now, or like holidays and those kinds of things? What are those like for you guys?
Depends on the holiday. There are a lot of Thai holidays,
mm-hmm.
and there are a number of Buddhist holidays,
mm-hmm.
And then we have some Christian holidays as well. So it depends on which holiday we're celebrating is how that goes. But holidays are, in any culture, those are special days and time for, if possible, for family to get together. The problem is a lot of our family live in southern Thailand, about 500 miles away.
Oh, wow.
So we can get together. It's not always easy to do that. But, we celebrate the holidays as much as we can. If
mm-hmm.
there are Buddhist holidays, of course, then those, unless there's a reason for us to be with family during that time. And then we just have to figure out how much of this can we participate in as
sure.
Christians. And some we can and some we cannot. And her family understands that.
Sure.
And accept that.
Is the rest of her family Buddhist then?
Her three sisters are Christian. All of her brothers are still Buddhist.
Okay. So you get the two cultures then, even just within your own family.
And, yes.
And the how they can work together. And
right.
That's a very interesting situation then for you, I
yeah,
think.
And her family has always been very open. When the girls, one by one, decided to become Christian,
mm-hmm.
the family was okay with that. They saw that as being a good thing. They didn't see that was going to bring negatives or problems to their family.
That's good.
They saw that, what they were seeing is Christ's love.
Right.
Being expressed to them as a family. And they just responded positively to that and have always been very, very happy to have Christians in their family.
Sure. We have just about a minute left. So is there any words of advice or anything for anyone that's thinking about becoming a missionary?
It's a great life. I love being a missionary. I find by being a missionary, I grow in my faith and my understanding of who God is and
mm-hmm.
how He works and what He does on a daily basis. And so I've gotten a lot of benefit myself
sure.
from being a missionary. And I would encourage anyone who has any interest at all to look into it. Short-term mission trips are possible. You get a little bit of experience with it, a taste to see, is this something that might work or might not?
Sure.
And for many people who've done that, they've discovered a whole new life that's awaiting. And for me, it was a complete change of life.
Mm-hmm.
which I've been thanking God for every day since I had a chance to start it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. We are all out of time. Dennis Deneau, thank you so much for being my guest today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
To learn more about Dennis's work, you can visit his page at lcms.org/DENOW.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.